Welcome to the Authentic Health Coaching Show. My name is Tom Corson-Knowles, founder of Authentic Health Coaching, and want to welcome you to the show today. If you haven't checked us out over at AuthenticHealthCoach.com, please do. We have an amazing free report for you with Dr. Corson's top 5 nutrition tips. It is the number one guide to taking your health to the next level. And today on the show, we have an amazing guest for you, Scarlett Winters, who's a naturopathic doctor out of Bloomington, Indiana. And I've known Scarlett for several years. She's just an extraordinary person. She is so knowledgeable about nutrition and health and how to manage your own health and how to really heal from within. And in this show, she shares some really, really powerful tips on what it's like to work with a naturopathic doctor and some tips and strategies that you can actually use to see where your health is at on your own. So take really great notes. I know you're going to love the show today and make it a fantastic day.
Scarlett, thank you so much for being on the Authentic Health Coaching Show today. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about you and how you got interested in nutrition?
Okay, thank you for having me on your show today, Tom. My practice is called a naturopathy practice, and for those who may not know what naturopathy is, it's a holistic healthcare specialty. And I have a Doctor of Naturopathy degree, but that's actually not what I thought that I was going to end up in. I've always been interested in nutrition and health because I was a classical dancer for 9 years. So for my own health, I'd always studied nutrition and wanted to be as healthy as possible so that I could keep up the stamina that I needed for the very athletic work of dancing. And I went to school originally to be a veterinarian. So I had these two parts of my life, this dancing that required me to really take care of my own health. And then I was studying a lot of science and zoology and health for animals. But as life often does, some roadblocks came in the right places and led me into an area of work where I wanted to work with humans rather than animals. And so I originally thought maybe I would go into medicine, but I was just really passionate about nutrition and noticed how many of my own health problems went away when I started eating properly in my adult life. My childhood, I didn't honestly eat very well. I didn't take very good care of myself, and I had a lot of allergies, a lot of hormonal problems when I went through puberty, and I just had a lot of skin issues. And then in my adulthood, when I finally got smart and started eating properly, a lot of those problems went away. And that made me start thinking, wow, people can really make a lot of difference. There's a lot of headway in their lives if they just ate properly. So that got me fired up. Mm-hmm. I started focusing on wanting to help other people find the benefits from good nutrition that I did.
That's awesome. So you know, I've talked to hundreds of healthcare professionals, naturopaths, doctors, chiropractors, and it seems like so many of them who are into alternative health started on that journey because of a personal health challenge. So, mm-hmm. You know, what are some words of encouragement or inspiration that you would give to someone who's going through a health challenge right now?
If you're going through a health challenge right now, what I can say to you is that there is hope, that even if you believe that this is chronic, that you'll never get over this, that it'll never get better, that things are only going to get worse, that doesn't have to be true. That doesn't have to be your reality. You just don't give up hope. That would be the most important message I would have for anyone who's dealing with a health challenge right now.
That's so true. I would totally agree with that. And I think that really is key, is that the first step to recovery, even regardless of the nutrition, is just to make that decision and to understand that you can make a difference in your health, no matter where you are right now. That it's never
That's
too
so
late
true.
To change your habits. It's never too late to change your diet. And it's never too late to get started on the road to better health.
That's absolutely true. I know people who are in their 60s and 70s and just started thinking about eating healthfully, getting some exercise, doing the things that they know they need to do. And even at that late of a stage, at the 60s and 70s, where most people have just given up on ever feeling better, they've turned back the clock. They feel like they're 30 years younger. And so if they can do it, anybody can do it.
Absolutely. And that's what I think also is key, is to hear from other people, you know, to go out there looking for the other stories of people who have overcome the challenges that you're overcoming. So, I mean, if you've got cancer, you know, look at stories of people who have overcome cancer and learn from them. And then, of course, go to the practitioners like you who actually understand that, yes, this is something we can recover from. Yes, this is something we can work on.
Attitude really is so important. You have to have that hope. You have to, even if it's just a small glimmer of hope, you have to have that belief that something can make a difference, because you have to take that first step. You have to actually look for the answers rather than waiting for them to just come to you. So if people do that, if people are willing to take control of their own health, then that's 50% of the journey right there.
Absolutely. So if someone came to you with a health challenge, I mean, what would be the process? What would you go through? What questions would you ask them? And what would you work on with their diet and their nutrition?
Sure. I look at people not so much as what is their specific health issue, although that is very important and that is something that we definitely work with. What I'm primarily looking at is that person as a whole person. And I see, as a naturopath, I see our bodies as these organisms that are capable of healing themselves, that healing occurs naturally if we have the things that we need to make that happen. Part of that is having the vitality to make that happen. And that disease and health challenges occur for a variety of reasons. They might be physical, like breaking your leg if you're in an auto accident, or it could be mental, emotional, some things that you're dealing with, grief a lot of times. Stress, any kind of stress, can weaken your immune system, cause issues. It can be even of a more spiritual nature. So there's lots of causes for things to go wrong, for things to get out of balance. But that's the key, is to find out what is the root cause of this health challenge that I'm going through, and ways that we address that. In a first appointment, if somebody were to come to me, the first appointment is usually going to be quite long, about an hour and a half to 2 hours, so much longer than what you would have at your typical doctor's visit. And there's several things that I'll do. There's a non-invasive assessment, so that means I won't be pricking you with needles or anything. But I look at a person's nails, their tongue, their face. I look in their eyes. We test the pH of your saliva to see what your acidity is. We do a lot of looking around and using our senses to assess folks. I do a pulse assessment where I feel both the right and the left pulse in the wrist, and I'm listening for certain clues that will tell me what organs might be challenged at the time of the assessment, where you might be having a little bit less vitality than you want to. The Ayurvedic side of my practice, that looks for a person's constitution, because a person's constitution tells you a lot about them. What foods might be more balancing to them, which foods might be more aggravating to them, what kind of health issues they might be prone to having, and if they have health issues, how they might best be, what the best response might be with different treatment options. So I'm primarily looking for a person's constitution and where things might be out of balance. And then we have a conversation based on that. I let the person know everything that I found from a naturopathic standpoint. And we talk about, if they've been to a medical practitioner, we talk about what they found out from that avenue. And from there, we develop a wellness plan for them. And a lot of that has to do with what are going to be foods that are going to be optimal for them and what kind of foods might be more aggravating, because every body is different. Every human body is different, and we respond to food differently. So you may know people who could eat pasta all day long and never have any ill effects from it. And then there are people who might look at pasta and get really tired and gain weight. And that's because our bodies are all very different. And so even with healthy food, something might be healthy for one person and not necessarily as healthy for another. So figuring out what's going to be best for each individual, and then we go from there with working on a wellness plan, and it's done jointly between me. It's not me telling you what to do. It's the two of us working together to find the best solution.
That's awesome, and I think it's so cool that you talk about a wellness plan, because, you know, so many times today we just talk about a treatment plan. You know, what's the treatment plan? What's the treatment plan? Mm-hmm. But I think when you have a wellness plan and a prevention plan, it's so much more powerful, because, you know, you're focusing on, you know, your whole body, like you said, the holistic approach. You're focusing on the entire body, and how can you make the entire body get healthier and heal? So what are some basic aspects of a wellness plan that, you know, just generally for everyone, that everyone should have in their wellness plan?
Yeah, there are definitely tips and tricks that are important for the whole general population. And most importantly would be to make sure that there's more good stuff going in than bad stuff. Make sure there's more bad stuff going out than good stuff. So it's all what's going into the body and what's coming out of the body. So having what I call a toxic-free lifestyle. And that means, as far as your diet goes, eating as little processed food as possible. If you can eliminate all processed food, that would be wonderful. It's hard to do in our modern society. But if that's possible, that would be ideal. And to focus on whole foods. I try, rather than focus on the negative, to focus on the positive. And there's so much positive that you can bring into your body. Whole foods, organic foods, minimally processed or not processed at all. Learning how to cook, if you could learn how to cook. More and more people today are losing that ability to know how to cook real food. So it's very simple. It's really easy, and it's a lot quicker even than fixing fast food or processed food sometimes, just to steam a few vegetables or to do a little stir fry. It's very quick and easy. And just to learn some of those skills of how to prepare some whole foods for yourself. Second would be trying not to eat on the run as much. There's a lot of healthy convenience foods that you can make for yourself ahead of time. But if you can actually eat with intention to focus on your eating, your digestion will go much more smoothly. You'll be able to get much more nutrition from the food that you're eating, but also encourage people to have some form of exercise plan. And if a person hasn't, it's been a while since you've exercised, it's best to get some professional advice as to where to start. See where you are now. Maybe have a fitness assessment. See where you are now and how to get to the place where you want to be. Exercise, there's just no substitute for it. Even just minimal amounts of exercise can have huge health benefits, because we have to keep our circulation going. We have to keep our lymph moving, our organs moving, to be able to be healthy, or they're just going to get weaker and weaker. So we can have the most excellent diet in the world, but if we're not exercising, our body's not going to be able to utilize that diet very well. There's a lot of things that people don't think about when it comes to wellness, like getting enough sleep, getting the right amount of sleep, and having a good amount of rest, being able to enjoy some leisure time. There's so much focus on going and going and being productive, but we're actually more productive when we get enough rest. So scheduling some play time for ourselves and also some good sleep time. Those would be the three most important. If I had to rank the most important wellness tips for people, it would be eating real food, getting some kind of exercise and getting enough rest and leisure time. And that would be the three.
That's awesome. And, you know, one of my mentors, Dr. Bill Sears, he talks about the pills versus skills model. And what he means by that is that, you know, instead of focusing on what pills can I take, focus on what skills can I develop to improve my health. And it's just fascinating how all three of your top tips for wellness, your wellness plan, they're all skills. You know, it's the skill of cooking, the skill of eating healthy, the skill of doing the exercise, and the skill of getting enough rest and knowing when to get enough rest for your body. And I think that's so true, is that you need to develop the skills to be a healthy person.
That's an excellent point, Tom. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So I know you just talked about a little while ago, you talked about, you know, when a patient first comes in, you'll do the analysis of the nails and the skin and the hair and things like that. You know, what can you learn from that? I mean, most people would say, you look at someone's nails, what can you possibly learn about how healthy they are from their nails?
Okay, that's an excellent example. I love the assessment methods in my practice. That was one of my favorite topics in school, were the assessment methods. There's so much that you can learn just from looking at a person about their health and wellness. And doctors used to do this once upon a time in the olden days. And even when I was young, a child, a teenager, I'm from the South, the rural South, and my doctors were all osteopaths. And they would look at my nails and look at my tongue in addition to doing the chest x-ray and the blood work. And so these are skills that maybe have passed away in what you would consider conventional doctor's office these days. But they're still around, and there's so much that we can learn. You mentioned nails, so we'll start with that. Nails are the waste area of our bones. So there's so much we can learn about our bone health just by looking at the health of our nails. But it tells us a lot of other things, too. In the nail, a healthy nail, you have what's called the lunula. It's this little half-moon shape that's at the bottom of the nail bed. And some people have those and some people don't. And when people do not have the lunula part of their nail, that's a good sign that they may not be getting enough oxygenation in their blood. So for someone, if someone came and they did it to me and they didn't have lunula on their nails, we would talk about breathing exercises and helping them really take deep breaths. Because a lot of us in today's society, we're just breathing really shallowly. We're not really taking breaths and getting good air into our lungs. And that can show up in our bodies, and it shows up in our nails. Also, I'm looking for places where there might be ridges or ditches in the nails. I'm looking for white spots in the nails. I'm looking for the color of the nail bed, because all of that can tell me about how you're absorbing your nutrition, how well your absorption is. Are you getting the right nutrients from your food? And are you even eating the right types of food? Might you be calcium deficient or mineral deficient? The color of the nail beds can tell me about certain organs. How healthy are your lungs? How healthy is your heart? Is your circulation good enough? So there are a lot of things that I can tell from the nail. And the nails are also a part of helping me decide what your individual constitution is.
I think there's probably a lot of people out there like me looking at their nails like, what's a lunula? Where is it? So can you just be a little more specific about exactly where that is?
Sure. So if you're looking at your thumb, there are three parts to your nail. There's the white part that grows kind of independently, and that's the part you trim with your nail clippers. And then there's ideally a pink part of the nail that's just below that. That's where the nail is attached to your thumb in the nail bed. At the bottom of that, it's at the bottom of the nail bed, so it's still within the pink area, there will be a little half moon shape. So it'll start at the corner, bottom corner of your nail bed, and it'll lift up and make an arc and go and meet back down at the other corner, bottom corner of your nail bed. So it's very possible that you don't have lunula. So if you don't see the lunula, then don't panic. It's, you know, that just means maybe you're not getting enough oxygenation. There's a lot of different things that it can mean if you don't have lunula. And without being there with you, a person, I wouldn't be able to tell them exactly why. But there's lots of reasons why a person might not have lunula. But my first, the first thing that I would think about was, are you getting enough oxygen in your bloodstream? So, and there's medical ways you can test that too. They test for oxygenation of your blood very commonly now when they do checkups in the doctor's office. So, but if that's where it's going to be. It's going to be a little bit more pale than, it may be white, but it may more likely be just a paler form of pink within the pink part of your nail bed and it's at the very bottom.
Okay, great. Thanks for that. So what about some other diagnostic tips that, you know, when you people come in and you get an assessment, what else do you look at? And why is that
other
important?
That I'm looking at are the tongue. The tongue can tell me all kinds of things. That's something that's very common in a lot of natural healthcare practices, like Ayurveda, Indian, which is Indian healthcare, and traditional Chinese medicine, Tibetan medicine. Looking at the tongue is very important. And the tongue can tell you a lot of things. You can map out the tongue, and there are different organs and different spots on the tongue. So if you're seeing certain tongue signs in a particular area, it can tell you about what's going on in that particular organ. And if you are looking at the tongue, you're looking at different colors, different what's called tongue fur. So, you know, when your child and your mom is looking to see if your tongue is coated, that's tongue fur. So, there's different colors of coating on the tongue that can tell you different things about what's going on in the body at that moment. And the color of your tongue can tell you, again, about the health of different organs. I'm also looking at a person's facial features, their coloring, the coloring between their skin and their hair, the difference between that, the way a person stands, the way a person talks, all of that can give me clues about what their constitution is and what might be going on inside of their body. There's just a lot of clues that your body can give you. I'm also doing what's called iridology, which is the study of the iris of the eyes. So I'll look in a person's eyes, the colored part of the eyes, and that can tell me a lot of things. The eyes are, as far as scientifically and embryonically, your eyes are an extension of the forebrain, so they're part of the central nervous system. And the nerves in the eyes are, through the optic nerve, connected to your central nervous system. So over time, we've been able to map the iris so that we can tell what's going on in specific areas of the body based on what's going on in the iris. With very few exceptions, iridology does not tell you what's happening right now. It tells you what your genetic tendencies and predispositions are. So it can tell you, based on your genetics, what parts of the body are getting more nerve energy than others. If you abuse your body, what's likely to go wrong first? It gives you a lot of information about prevention, where you should be focusing your prevention, more than it tells you what's actually happening in the body right now.
Awesome. And is that pretty much the most of your assessment right there, or is there anything else specifically that you think people would really love to know?
I think those are the main points. I mean, I definitely do a lot of conversing with the person and taking a health history and all of that. And we do test the pH of the saliva to see if the diet is more acidic or alkaline, because you want your diet to be more alkalinizing to the body than it is acidifying to the body. But for the most part, I'm looking at the nails, the tongue, and the eyes. Those are the three most important parts of the body that I'm looking at for assessment. And people can study some of this. They're very basic information on all of these that you can do yourself so that you can look every morning at your tongue and your nails and your eyes and get an idea of where you are. So you don't necessarily have to be at a practitioner level where you do this professionally. Definitely that helps with more specifics, but people, just everyday people, can learn basic skills in these areas so that you can keep track of your own health and wellness. And this weekend, actually, I'm teaching a workshop in Ann Arbor, Michigan, on Ayurvedic pulse assessment, so how to take your own pulse assessment each day and find out where you are as far as your health goes and what organs are happier and which ones are less happy that day.
Before we go, I know we've only got a couple minutes left. Why don't you just tell us a little bit more about, you mentioned people could look for more information on iridology and things like that. Can they find that on your website, or would they have to Google search that? How would they find more information about the stuff you've been talking about?
Sure. There's lots of good places to find that. Certainly my website, which is www.healthypeoplellc.com. My website will have a lot of good information about naturopathy, about the different assessment tools that I use, and about health and wellness. It'll lead you to discussion forums where you can look up information about different natural health topics and about healthy events and workshops that might be coming to your area. People can also, if you want to learn more about iridology, you can Google the International Iridology Practitioners Association, IIPA. And that organization has tons of information on their website about iridology and how to learn more if you want to learn more about that, but also just some general information about iridology. And it can also lead you to some other good resources on that topic. As far as more tongue and nail assessments, you can do Google searches for those, and you might get some good information and some not so good information. But if you look for websites that deal with actual medical professionals or natural health professionals websites, those are where you're going to get some of the juiciest information on those topics. Tongue assessment, the best places you can look are for traditional Chinese medicine sites or for Ayurveda sites. But traditional Chinese medicine sites are probably going to have the most in-depth information on assessing the health of your own tongue. If you like books, which I definitely do, there's a wonderful book by Vasant Laud, and that's spelled V-A-S-A-N-T. Second name is L-A-D. Vasant Laud is a rather famous instructor in Ayurveda, and he has a tiny little self-help book, Ayurveda self-help book, that has diagrams for the nails and the face and the tongue that will tell you things to look for when you're looking in the mirror to be able to tell about your own health and wellness. So those are some good resources that people can start with.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show with us today, Scarlett.
Thank you for having me, Tom. It's been a pleasure.